Yeah, they're saying they love it even. They're saying they love you even without the looping and the mic not working. So okay, sometimes our sound system is inhabited by poltergeists. I think I don't know why, but that's just a very suspicious thing to say in a church of religious science, isn't it? Okay, let's get down to business. I offer the sound system to the divine. I offer the sound system to love and know absolutely that love takes care of it. And that's what today is about. It is claiming our power through the paradox of surrendering and offering. What? Most people think that in order to gain our power, we have to control and fix and do all kinds of things, but really, the key to our power is through surrendering and offering our lives to the divine. How do you like it so far, my talk? Okay, good. We're teaching right now in Sundays and also in a class that I'm doing this book called It's Not Your Money by Tasha Silver. Really, seriously, it's not your money, okay? Whose money is it then? God's? Okay, good, good answer. The divine's money, love's money. The other possibly bad news about it's not your money is that it's also... Well, somebody clearly was highly insulted by that and they left in a huff. It's not the first time someone has left in a huff during a Sunday service. It's not only not your money, it's not your problems, your burdens, it's not your job, it's not your relationship, it's not your health, it's not your worries, it's not anything that you're claiming as your own. Everything belongs to the divine. Everything belongs to God. And what a relief it is to actually acknowledge that and stop trying to wrestle with it and just recognize that everything belongs to love. It's really freeing, but it doesn't always seem that way at first glance. I read a little bit about the nature of surrender yesterday and was listening to a non-dual teacher, Rupert Spira, who I quote a lot. And this woman was saying, I can't surrender. I don't know how. I don't know what to do. And I don't even want to surrender. Anybody? And he said, one of the challenges that you're having is that you're making surrender a thing of the mind. Your ego, your separate self, is trying to figure out how to surrender, when really surrender is just a thing of the heart. It is complete letting go and letting something greater than the small Tupperware container of your mind take charge and move through you in ways that are beyond what you can imagine. Rupert Spira also said that to surrender is to be like the divine. You know, our mission statement, our vision statement before we had that one, is to love as God loves, or to love as love loves, if you prefer that. And the divine doesn't cling to anything. The divine is pure awareness, pure absolute reality, and everything just moves through the divine without the divine attaching to it. Rupert Spira invites us to incorporate that into our lives, as I invite you to incorporate that into your lives, to just allow everything to move through without clinging to it. Many other mystical teachers have invited us to do that as well. And you know, when I think about it, another way that offering our lives to the divine or surrendering completely to the divine is like loving as love loves, it's really that love is not attached to anything, so much so that it created the universe out of itself and gave us free will. Another teacher that I've read is Andrew Harvey, and I remember him saying once that the ego is never humble enough. Only God is humble enough. And I had a conversation with some folks about that. What does that mean? And the biggest thing I came out of that conversation with, I think was actually from Hugh. I don't know if you remember what you said or if you remember the congregation. He said, only God is humble enough because God gives us the power to reject it. And we do, don't we? Once or twice. A minute, no. Since I've been teaching this book, and when I first started reading it, I started offering my life to the divine, and I think I've said in several weeks past, at pretty much every service since I started reading it, it is such a beautiful way to go through life. It really releases the cares and the worries that many of us burden ourselves with, and just trusting that there's a higher power that will take care of us, and that will move in unimaginable ways to support our destiny, our soul's destiny. One of the ways that I know that I'm in the flow of surrender and offering my life to the divine is that I show up places and I'm looking for opportunities to serve. I'm excited about serving at the church or at Vaughn's, my other ashram, the grocery store, the DMV, anywhere. That's a sign that we're really in the flow of the divine because we want to offer our lives to the person standing before us. And like I said also, this is a true form of empowerment. You wouldn't think giving everything away would be empowerment, but it really is. So the name of this talk this morning is something about empowerment. I don't remember what it is. Finding your, what is it?
Summon the power of the divine.
Summon the power of the divine. And we do that through offering and through surrender. Now, I'm using the terms offering and surrender interchangeably. There was a discussion in class as to whether or not the same thing. I'm not going to worry about that. What I suggest for you, if one word works for you and the other word feels too challenging, pick the word that feels too challenging, because that'll stretch you even further. Because the problem is that many of us do not want to offer our lives to the divine, or we're reluctant to offer our lives to the divine, or we're reluctant to surrender everything to the divine. And I looked at some of the reasons why that is. One of the reasons is, I think that we do not really want to relinquish control. Now, I have an analogy for that, and I hope it works for you. I really like it, so just work with me here, if you would. Imagine that you're a space alien. Are you with me? Okay. Imagine that you're a space alien, and you live on a planet someplace else, and you have television, so you know about your earthlings, and you know about westerns, and you know about horses, right? And somehow, you get to the planet Earth, and in your wanderings, on the very first day, you come to this place, it's a carnival, and there are all of these horses going in a circle, and they're going up and down, and there's calliope music playing, and you're like, wow, look at those horses, oh my goodness, and look at all those people riding those horses. You get it's a merry-go-round, right? Okay, look at all those people riding those horses, they are keeping them in line, and I didn't see that on the westerns, these people must be ace riders. You want to try it. You're as a space alien, you want to try it. And so you wait until pretty much everybody is gone. And finally you have the courage to get on a horse. And you get on a horse, you pick a big brown stallion. And I don't know. I've never checked a gender on a merry-go-round. That would be a little weird, but I think they're probably all girls. But anyway, you get on the biggest, brownest horse you can find, and you're riding, and you start to, you know, you're kicking it, so it speeds up a little bit, and yeah, it starts to speed up a little bit because you're kicking it, and then, oh my gosh, your horse feels like it's getting a little close to the horse in front of you, so you pull back. Whoa, Nelly, don't get too close to that horse, and you feel like the other horse is coming up behind you, and you yell at the horse behind you, and then, oh my gosh, it's time to turn in the circle, so you're pulling the reins, you pull the reins this way to turn that way, right, horse people, right? Okay, you're pulling the reins so the horse will go in a circle, and oh my God, at the end of that 5 minutes, you're exhausted from all of that riding, and you go to the guy who let you in sitting at the gate, and you say, well, it was my first time, but I think I managed to keep all of those horses in line. You're welcome. And the guy at the gate says, whatever. Humor him. He lets you go. And then the next crowd of people comes on, and he flips the switch, and the horses do exactly what they're supposed to do without the intervention of the riders on the horses. Do you get the analogy? God, when God, the universe, when love created the universe out of itself, it flipped a switch and created all of these beautiful laws that work in perfect harmony. And yet, we struggle We struggle to make things happen in the way that we think they need to happen, and we struggle to believe that God is really going to make everything turn out okay and that all of our horses are going to end up in the perfect place at the right time. Has anyone ever tried to control something or struggled with something and lost trust in terms of the knowing that Spirit can take care of it all? If anybody's going through that right now, now might be a good time to take a second look at that and breathe in and see it and feel how much you want to control and how much you want to struggle and thank it for trying to help, because it is trying to help. Our blessed little separate self is just trying to help us out. And then just release it and let it go and offer that struggle, offer that control, offer that burden of struggle to the divine, to love. Love who loves you so much more than you know. Again, paraphrasing Heisenberg, love is not only more wonderful and more magnanimous and more magnificent than we can think, than we think. Love is more of all of those things than we can think. We cannot imagine the possibilities that love has for us, but they are there. Which brings me to the second reason why it's hard for us to imagine surrendering our lives and offering our lives to the divine. Many of us probably still think, in the recesses of our mind, that God is not necessarily for us, that God is a cosmic punisher, and that God is somehow trying to get us to shape up so that we can be good enough. I had the extreme pleasure this week of speaking with one of my relatives. He called me and he asked if it was okay to mix family and spiritual counseling. And I said, absolutely, because I spiritual counsel wherever I am. I can't stop myself. And so he called me. He lives in another part of the country. And he called me up, and he said he's gay, and he said that he was just starting to get in touch with how angry he is at God for telling him that he was going to hell because he was gay. It's heartbreaking. And he said he heard that from a very, very young age, because he knew he was gay when he was little, and he just, you know, would go to a church where they said that. And he said he was angry at God, not only God, but at the people that reinforced that message in him. And so we had what I would call a come to Jesus talk about the nature of God and what God really is. That God is wholeness. That God is inclusive of everything. That God has created diversity for a high and a holy purpose. And what we do with this omnipresence and this infinity that is more magnificent than we can think as we try and mold it into something that is understandable for us. And so we impose all of our projections and all of our limitations onto God. We say something really unkind and really inappropriate, and then we blame God for saying it. Right? And he had a beautiful, beautiful transformation in our conversation where by the end of it, he was saying, you know, I actually am starting to feel compassion for those people that are so limited that they think that way. It was beautiful. I sent him off, sent him some things to read, and all is well in his world now. I know it is. But the thing is that even if we're not struggling with that particular issue, chances are that we have imposed something of our limited thinking onto the divine. We have imposed something of our limited thinking onto the abundance of the divine and onto God's ability to provide for us and to take what we offer it and know exactly what to do. Has anybody here ever had a problem and either said this out loud or thought it unconsciously, this problem is bigger than God? Well, I'm sorry, you're the only one. I don't really expect people to raise their hands, but just so you know, if you have it, maybe just raise your pinky so no one can see, okay? Raise your pinky if you've ever had a problem that feels bigger than God. I see some pinkies, okay? Oh, David's pinkies. Okay, that's some serious pinky right there. All right. So let's look at that for just a minute. We have a problem, and if we're going on and on and worrying about it and persevering about it and repeating it and talking about it and gossiping about it, whether it's a problem with a relationship or a problem with money or a problem with work or a problem with raising children, we are saying, in essence, we are affirming, God can't handle this. This problem is bigger than God. The opposite of that is noticing when we start resenting or when we start worrying or when we start going on and on about something, when we start gossiping, when we start retelling our story for the 20th time, is to just say, oh, wait a minute. Look at me. I'm affirming that this problem is bigger than God. What if I could just step back and say, God, this problem is bigger than my ego. I need to pass this over to you. I offer this problem, I offer this challenge, I offer this concern over to you, trusting and knowing that the place that is omnipresence and infinity itself is wise and wonderful and that you can handle it. So if you're struggling with something right now, again, see if it might be a good choice to first of all turn within and consider what the struggle is and feel it as much as you want to feel it. Feel how it feels like it's helping and thank it for trying to help. And then breathe in and just let go. One of the gestures that I learned when I was studying the Sedona method was just let go. And you feel things clear when you do that. Just let go. And in the spaciousness that's created, perhaps, if you're willing, you could say, I offer this concern, this problem, this challenge to the divine, knowing and trusting that the divine is omnipresent good and is for the highest and best well-being for all beings. You know, we sang it's not his song, but the song that was popularized a lot during Martin Luther King's movement, We Shall Overcome. And I was reading a lot about Dr. King yesterday, and I read this beautiful quote where he refers to God as a cosmic companion. Is that not so beautiful? A cosmic companion. And we all have that cosmic companion that has given us everything and that hopefully is inspiring us to receive everything that has been given through the sacred practice of offering. Because when we offer, when we surrender, we don't lose anything. Rather, we gain everything. One more thing. In the part that I talked about, understanding that God is bigger than our problems, right? You don't tell God how big your problem is, you tell your problem how big your God is, right? Anybody heard that phrase? So we have to get a bigger God. And I've been thinking about this a lot. Yes, we have to get a bigger God, but we also have to get a smaller God. A God that is actively engaged in the intimate details of our lives. Joel Goldsmith refers to God as our infinite, intimate friend, very much like our constant cosmic companion, like Martin Luther King said. So we have to trust and know that we're not bothering God when we ask God for support in little things. Because in the divine, in the infinite, there is no large and small. Whale and minnow are alike. Whale and minnow are alike. That, I believe, is Ralph Waldo Emerson. But Shell will be sure to correct me if it's not. The other day I had a demonstration of something little that was brought on, I believe, by the power of offering. I've told you before recently about one of my dogs has a rash. She has skin problems, allergies, and she's on medication that works really well, but her ears get really dirty. and she, because of the allergies, and she shakes her head, and her ears bleed a little bit at the bottom, and there's blood spatter all over my house, which is really special. It's like Dexter, you know, if you've seen Dexter. if Dexter came in there, he'd say, oh, yeah, crime scene. Nope, dog spatter, blood spatter, shaking ears. But anyway, you know, I'm concerned about my animals all the time because I love them dearly. And I didn't specifically pray for a solution, but I did wake up every day, and that day in particular, offered myself to the divine, offered my life to the divine, offered all of my burdens to the divine, and then just wait and see what happens. That day, our plumbing and our electric broke. Called some people, and they came in, and they were lovely. They loved my dogs. They were wonderful. It wasn't $3,000 like I thought it would be. There was a lot of barking going on. In the midst of the barking, my neighbor next door came and knocked on the door. This is my neighbor. He's fairly new. He has five children. They have several loud mariachi parties every now and then. They had two in a row. On Saturday night when I'm usually writing my sermon. So I'm writing my sermon like, doo, 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 doo. And it did cross my mind to go to him and say, is there going to be a mariachi party every Saturday night? So I could change things up. But, you know, I actually really like mariachi, so I decided just to relax and enjoy it. The other thing is that he had, like I said, he has five children. Two of them are about 2 years old, and they're twins. And they get into stuff. And two of the older boys have trumpets. So there's a lot going on in that house, and it's really beautiful. And I had to go over there the other day. We were actually going to give him a gift, and I knocked on the door, and he opened the door and looked kind of terrified, like I was going to complain about the noise. But I have no business complaining about noise because I have dogs that will bark if there's, you know, any, like a cat in the yard or something in the middle of the night. They don't care that it's 2 a.m. They'll rush out in the yard and start barking, you know, at the top of their lungs. So I don't really ever complain about noise with my neighbors. So anyway, he came and he knocked on my door and he had this package with him and he said, this arrived at my door. I know you have dogs. I'm like, really? How do you know that? Is it the barking at 2 a.m.? And or the barking that's going on right now because of the workmen? And he just handed it to me and I said, well, I didn't order anything for my dogs, but let's go across the street. We'll ask Randy, who lives across the street. We talked to Randy. Randy didn't order it either. But in that moment of introducing my neighbor Alejandro to Randy, they spoke in Spanish together and we learned more about the families. And it was a beautiful moment of connection. Alejandro left the package with me. I decided I was going to figure out who it belonged to, so I called the company that sent it rather than knocking on all the doors of my neighbors. And I said, you know, we have this thing that came. I'd like to know who ordered it so I can give it to the right person. And they said, well, we send it to veterinarians. I'm like, well, I don't think Alejandro is a veterinarian, and I'm not either. Can I keep it? And they said, sure. And I opened it up, and it was dog ear medicine. And, you know, it just makes you want to think that there is something that is truly infinite and intimate that orchestrated all of that to literally bring dog ear medicine to my doorstep. And that's one of the gifts. But the other gift, too, is the connection that was formed between the three neighbors. After I realized I was going to keep it and it was something I could actually use, I got a box of heart pins and I brought them over to Alejandro and I said, these are for your children. And so that's how it works when we surrender our lives to the divine. The divine love has so much more in store for us than we could ever imagine. So what would it be like right now to commit, to promise, to read the book if you need extra support, and to just wake up every morning and say, Spirit, divine love, I offer my life to you. Use me, oh God, I stand for you, and here I'll abide as you show me all that I get to do. Thank you very much. Let us pray.